But now, to do what it takes to get the answer. To be consumed with the commission. We've got to realize that God has already told the church what she's supposed to do. But then there are steps the church must take to fulfill what God wants us to do. Amen. And I'm just going to start here in Acts chapter number 1. You don't have to stand this morning. Just for the sake of time, we're going to move right on into the scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive. Praise our God, he's alive. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Emphasis on commanded. The commission has been given. Go ye into all the world. Go ye, teach them, making disciples. Go ye, share with them the good news. Share with them the gospel. Hallelujah. They've already been given the commission. They've already been given the instruction. But now he says, but tarry and don't depart. In other words, don't go about the commission. Here you go. Until you've been consumed with the commission. Till you've been endued with power from on high. Verse number 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Being consumed with the commission can only transpire after the commission has consumed you. After the Spirit of God has consumed you. After you have come to that place of surrender to God, where God can call the shots. God's work will never be done until God can control the worker. Surely, you've read in the scriptures about the hireling. Sunday school lesson via Facebook about the good shepherd, and the sheep know his voice. The hireling is all about his own agenda. The hireling is not about the commission. The hireling is not about sanctification. The hireling's not concerned about the sheep. The hireling is concerned about his name, his fame, his prestige, and how good he looks while he's doing what he calls working for the Lord. That's the hireling. But the shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. And until we can lay down our lives to the shepherd, we cannot fulfill the commission. The disciples had great aspirations. The disciples had been given that commission. Even Peter himself had his own personal commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Follow me. But still yet, Jesus told them all, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They needed the baptism in the Holy Ghost to help them overcome themselves. The greatest hindrance to the work of God is selfish people. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, we look at that, we may not fully understand what was going on at that moment. This came right after Jesus told them about receiving power. They're still caught up in their own preconceived ideas of what they want Jesus to do. They've missed the mark here of what Jesus already told them they need to do. They're still wanting him to roll back his robe, so to speak, flex his muscles, and take control of Jerusalem. That's the question. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? When's that going to happen? They're still thinking about their own thoughts about the Messiah, their own preconceived ideas about the Savior. Whether you realize it or not, the Jews never really got it all. They never fully understood the gospel. They couldn't grab a hold that it was for everybody. They couldn't get rid of some of their preconceived ideas. It was for the Jews alone. And this is where the Judaizers came from in the scriptures, to come along and say, you got to be circumcised, and you got to follow the law of Moses to the T. You can't eat this and you can't eat that. And they never got a hold of it. They became stumbling blocks to many. Why? Because of their preconceived ideas. And Jesus had the remedy for that. He said, tarry. Their question was, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? When are you going to set up your throne here in Jerusalem? When are you going to conquer all these nations? Jesus said, that's not for you to know. It's not what you've been told to do. You remember, even in Peter's personal commission, he couldn't get John off his mind. Okay, you're telling me to do this, and you're telling me to do this, and you're telling me to do that, and you're telling me to follow you. Well, what about Timmy? I mean, man, you're really bearing down on me. Well, what about Timmy? Doesn't make any difference about Timmy. I'm talking to you. Don't wonder what's going on with your brother or your sister. Know what's going on with you and your Savior. Follow him. Praise God. And here's what he wants out of his believers: to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. Here they are, still wanting him to conquer Jerusalem, still wanting him to sit on the throne of Israel. And he says, it's not time for that. This is what you need. You need power. You need power to overcome your preconceived ideas. You need power to overcome your selfish motives. You need power to overcome your pride. You need power to overcome your flesh. You need power to preach the gospel so you have boldness and you don't deny me. Peter had already done that, had he not? But Jesus was letting them know, you need power from on high. You don't need a blessing from God. Blessings will come. You need power from on high. Hallelujah. And just about, well, just right after he tells them you're going to receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that's when you're going to be consumed with the commission, he just begins to float through the air. And he just begins to rise off the top of that mountain, right up through the air, right in front of their eyes. And he's leaving this earth, because he had already told them, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come and take up his place. It was time for Jesus to ascend. He ascended right before their very eyes. And there's one portion of scripture I haven't shared with you here, but even in the midst of all of this, it's hard to really fathom, after Jesus had revealed himself to over 500 at a time, even when he revealed himself to his disciples alive and well, some still doubted. You're always going to have doubters. Some still doubted after they seen the nail scars in his hand. The Bible says some still doubted. After he stood and shared with them of what they were going to do and the power that was coming, and some still doubted. What's that mean? That means they couldn't get over their own preconceived ideas, how they wanted it done, how they thought it ought to be done, and they couldn't even hear from God because of their pride. Pride's your greatest enemy. If you think you're smarter than everybody else, you're in trouble. You need to get saved. That's a bold statement. But pride has no place in a child of God's life. Because pride is the very seat of sin. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, these are all the things. A lot of people that have pride in their lives really condemn those that have a problem with their flesh. They may not have a problem with their flesh, but their problem is pride, and it's the first one mentioned. Because pride won't let you see your problem. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it just eradicates pride. Because you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost if you're full of pride. This is why so many have a problem getting filled with the Holy Ghost, because they're not ready to eradicate pride out of their lives. They're not ready to humble themselves before the Lord and realize that it's by grace we're saved and not of works, lest we should be prideful. I said it like that because that's just a synonym of boastful. Because that's what boasting is. It's pride. Pride. Okay, so here's what happens. To be consumed with the commission, Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was a feast of the Jews, just like Jesus died on the feast of Passover, unleavened bread. The Holy Ghost was poured out on the feast of Pentecost. That's why it's called Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Okay, number one. They had humbled their hearts. They had went to Jerusalem. And they were waiting. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Go to Jerusalem. Tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. That's exactly what they were doing. They had went to Jerusalem. They had found a place together in an upper room. There they all were waiting, for they didn't know what they were waiting for. Other than he was the Comforter. Other than he was the Spirit of Truth. Other than he was going to baptize them in the Holy Ghost and fire. Those are the things they knew. How it was going to happen, had not a clue. What was going to transpire when he came, they had not a clue. But Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until it happens. What's that mean? Don't go about trying to do what you think you need to do for Jesus Christ until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Because once you get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, then you will have a communication going on with God that you've never had before. And now he can begin to direct your lives internally. You have now been introduced to the power of God and the moving of the Spirit of God and how God moves and the humility it takes to have direction from God. Because that's everything it takes to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got to walk in that same humility so that he can keep talking to you and keep directing you and keep changing you and keep showing you all of God's truth. But if you quit doing that, you won't be full of the Holy Ghost. Okay. So here they are. They're doing exactly what Jesus said. And all of a sudden, the wind fills the building. All of a sudden, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost until you come forth speaking in an unknown language by the directive of the Holy Ghost of God. You may have been moved on by the Holy Ghost. You may have been blessed by the Holy Ghost. You may have been stirred by the Holy Ghost. But until you come forth speaking in an unknown tongue, you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of them out there to say, yeah, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They ain't never spoke in tongues. Then they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Like I said, I'm going to repeat myself. They may have been moved on by the Holy Ghost. They may have been stirred by the Holy Ghost. They may have been touched by the Holy Ghost. Because he does all those things. And I just know from personal experience, I was saved by the drawing of the Holy Ghost. I was saved by the moving of the Holy Ghost. I moved closer to God because I could sense the Holy Ghost in the house of God. I knew it was God, didn't doubt it was God, but I was never baptized in the Holy Ghost till I came forth speaking in an unknown tongue. And when that transpired, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, knew I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and wanted a continual infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Because I came consumed with mission of God. Ooh, hallelujah. And so you see, it was once they were filled with the Holy Ghost and it began to break forth and the power of God began to move. They came out of that upper room. They came down the stairs and they came into the streets and they were worshiping God, praising God, magnifying God, glorifying God. Do you realize the first revival in Jerusalem was a move of the Holy Ghost? Men worshiping, women worshiping, praising, magnifying God, lifting their voices to God. And it broke out of the room into the streets and it caused a commotion among the city. It was mocked, and it was ridiculed, and it was misunderstood. He's our God. Verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, guess what? Peter could preach now. Peter was consumed with the commission. Peter wasn't scared of those 3,000 plus people standing around laughing, mocking, and saying these men are drunk with wine. Peter just stood up with the 11, but Peter was the one that began to preach. How could he begin to preach now? Because he had now been endued with power from on high. Woo! He was not concerned about Peter. He was not fearful of any man. He was now consumed with the commission of Christ. He now had the power he was going to need to face all the opposition that was staring him in the face that day as he stood up with those 11 and he began to preach and call them to repentance and tell them to turn away from their sin and tell them that they crucified the Lord of glory and that they needed to repent of that and turn to him, then be baptized in his name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Still alive and well today. And it is exactly what every believer needs to hear and every believer needs to conform to. Because it's not a man-made religion. It's not man following man. It's the Word of God of what Pentecost is all about. So that we can be endued with power from on high, so that we might be able to proclaim the truths of God's Word, and not only proclaim them, but live them. But live them. To have that hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled with God's Holy Word. Renewing our minds daily with God's Holy Word. Think on the pure things. Think on the holy things. Think on the righteous. You know what the problem is with the church nowadays? They think on everything but God. They think on everything but God. They think about what they want to do after church. They think about what they want to do in between church service. They think what they want to do. Oh, what do you want to do? What are you consumed with? Because whatever you're consumed with, that is what you will be doing. With commission. You know, that somebody couldn't keep them away from the house of God if he had 5 bulls tied to it. They'd be dragging the bulls right onto the house of God. That's consumed with commission. Why? Because you know you got to find that strength. You know you got to know the truth. You know you got to know the Word. You know you got to be in the presence of God. You know that everything you're going to need to maintain that consuming commission in your life is found in the house of God where the Spirit of God moves. The Word of God is taught and preached. Couldn't keep me away from Sunday school. Why? Because I was hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Then he couldn't keep me away from Sunday school because I became the Sunday school teacher. Some churches don't even do Sunday school anymore. Some churches don't even have Sunday night service. Some churches don't even have a midweek service anymore. We do. Why? I need it. I need it, hallelujah. I need that fellowship with God. I need that fellowship with the saints. Not only do I need it, I want it. Believe it or not, I want to be around you. Yeah, believe it or not, I want to be around you. I don't know about you, Arian. Believe it or not, I want to be around Arian too. John, I want to be around you. I want to be around the saints of God that love God because that keeps my heart encouraged. I want to be going forward. Man, what is that? That's consumed. Consume the Word of God. Consume. You know, I do other things besides preach, school, church. There ain't very many of them. Why? That's just really what I've done all my life. That's what I've consumed. I've always worked a job. Even when I preach revivals, I worked a job.
wasn't consumed with my job. I was consumed about preaching revival. I didn't work a job because I hate it. I like to eat. I like to have electricity. I like to have a roof over my head. That is the only reason I worked. Not because I love that work job. I love preaching the gospel. I love sharing the gospel. I love working for God, but I had to work that other job so I could work for God. Pastor my first church, I still work the job part-time. Little churches don't pay a whole lot of money.
Oh, so I picked up a part-time job. But you know what I was consumed with? I wasn't consumed with that job. I went there, did my best, put in my time, and gave him all I had while I was there. Praise God. But when I was done with them, the rest was to God. Hallelujah. And to my family. Woo, praise God. Yeah, to my family. Yeah, buying horses so the kids have something to do. Buying four-wheelers so the kids would. Did I want to buy horses? No. But my kids needed some recreation, and hey, there ain't nothing wrong with the horse. We had some nice horses. We had I got to get on moving here. Anyway, praise God. Consumed with the commission doesn't mean you just don't do anything else. It means you do everything else with joy. You do everything else because you're looking out for your family. You're looking out for your church. You're looking out for your brothers and your sisters. And that's the joy that you have. And when you got joy and are consumed with the commission, hey, you get a lot of everybody. Because you're wanting to help everybody. You're wanting to encourage everybody. You're wanting everybody to grow in His grace, grow in His knowledge. And you find no greater joy than spiritual growth, even in others. There is no greater joy to a pastor, I can tell you this for sure, than to see his sheep growing. I'm not talking about this. That's good to see that too. I've seen a lot of that over the years. I'm talking about spiritual growth, spiritual hunger, changing of desires, changing of habits, and changing of countenance. Praise God. Becoming consumed with a commission. Being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And then maintaining that infilling. Times of refreshing, the Bible calls it. Just like what we had around here this morning. You know, a lot of people, don't fall out with me. I'm just as serious as I can be. There's a lot of people that think that's nonsense, what we just had here this morning. I feel sorry for those people because they don't understand the love of God, the power of God, and how God moves the heart of men. See, the dynamics of what the Spirit of God just did here this morning was to get hearts and minds directed, I mean directly pointed towards God. So that then the Word of God could become quickened, embraced, and fulfilled. Now, hang on with me. I'm not browbeating nor meddling. But if you weren't here in Sunday school, then you missed out on what the Holy Ghost was quickening a while ago. See, what is that? Yeah, tell them about it. Praise God. What is that? That's a humble heart saying, God, I know you're in the house. God, I'm wanting to draw closer. And the bottom line, I don't know what I need to do. But this is my effort to give you praise. This is my effort to let you know I'm serious. And I want to hear from heaven. And if you weren't here in Sunday school, that word didn't get quickened to you. But the word I'm preaching right now is going to be quickened. Hallelujah. Because that's how He operates. That's how He moves. That's why He does what He does so well. He melts hearts. And when the heart can melt, then the will can begin to come. You get a heart that's contrite, and you get a will that's humble, and now you can be taught something from God. But if I can never get broken, and I can never get humble, I will never be taught from God. I may pick up tidbits here and tidbits there, and I may read books here and read books there, and here a book, there a book, everywhere a book, book. That is not consumed with the commission. That is not full of the Holy Ghost. That is not God's word taking precedence in your mind. Oh my, we got great seminaries all across this land, but I wouldn't give you a nickel for most of them. Why? Because all they do is shove your head full of knowledge. Most of it's not correct. Some of it is. And they have no moving of the Holy Ghost at all. And if I understand my Bible correctly, it's the Spirit of truth that's going to teach you truth. It's the Spirit of God that's going to guide your life. Not a professor in seminary. It's the Holy Ghost that is to lead and guide our lives. I did not have opportunity to go to seminary. Didn't feel led to go to seminary. But my teaching was teaching Sunday school, online Bible college, and the school of hard knocks. And that's the one that teaches you the most. So when you do it wrong and it blows up in your face, and God says, here am I, I'm going to pick up the pieces, but did you learn anything? School of hard knocks. Consumed with the commission, Acts 8:4, and I'm going to close. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Whether it be by voice or whether it be by example, when you're consumed with the commission, you are serious about everywhere you go to make sure you're preaching the gospel. With deeds, voice, life. When you're consumed with the commission. I need a piano player once again. But the only way you're going to be consumed with the commission, consumed with the commission of God on a spiritual plane and a spiritual level, is when you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not telling you you can't go. Jesus did, but I'm not telling you you can't. That old proverbial, well, do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Why are you even asking that question? When Jesus said, tarry until you be endued with power, why would you even ask a question that goes against the Word of God? I'm sorry, that's just how I look at it. I'm not going to stand here and tell you you're going to heaven by any work you do. But I will stand here and tell you you're going to heaven if you're obedient to Jesus Christ. You make the decision whether he told you to be filled with the Holy Ghost or it was just Brother Pepper. And if you think it's just Brother Pepper, then that's fine. You live your life just the way you want to live it. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to obey God's word. You see, I wasn't raised in Pentecost. I actually was almost raised in one of the farthest steps from Pentecost you could ever be in. Not the farthest, but one of the farthest. When I stepped into a Pentecostal church and I felt the power of God, I knew God was in that house. Didn't understand it, scared me to death. But I couldn't stay away because I knew it was God, and my heart was hungering and thirsting after God. And so I just kept coming back and kept coming back until I finally got saved. I got filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And God called me to preach. Taught Sunday school, I can't remember how many years. Deacon in the church, I can't remember how many years. Evangelized, pastored, pioneered a church. Had I known everything that was going to transpire in my life when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I probably wouldn't have said yes. It would have scared me to death. But you see, he doesn't operate that way. He just says, will you follow me? Yes. Will you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Will you preach my gospel? Yes. See, it's just one step at a time. But I gotta keep saying yes. I think you understand. Stand. Stand with me this morning. Are you consumed with the commission? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost and come forth speaking in an unknown tongue? For that is what Jesus Christ desires for His believers. It's not just a type of church. It's not just a fad. It's not just somebody's preference. It's exactly how the first church started, and it's the first church that is the pattern for the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified, died for the sins of the world, ascended back into heaven, but don't stop there, and sent back the Holy Ghost to fill His believers with power. And that power is a result of humbling my heart, humbling my mind, and being willing to give control to the Holy Ghost of God. That's all it depends on. That's how you got saved. That's how you did any growth up to this point. And it's the same thing to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's a measure of surrender we've never been to before. Praise our God. And it is the gift of the Father. It is the promise of the Father. It is the blessing of God. But it will bring power into my life if I will let Him. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands, lift your voice right there where you're standing. Give praise to God and give Him thanksgiving. If you're washed in the blood, then you got great thanksgiving to give Him. If your sins have been washed away, then you've got a lot of thanksgiving that should be going on. If He's filled you with the Holy Ghost, then you've got even more to thank Him for. And if you ask Him to fill you, He said He will. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. Just let that heart humble. Let that will crumble. And let the Holy Ghost of God just have His way.
I need more of You. I need more of You. I've had it all, but what I need is more of You. Of Thee. fulfilled.